station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Thursday, August 30th.
Hello.
We're here in spite of everything that happened.
Many things. Yeah.
We're here to entertain, and we're here whether the world is still up or not.
That's to beg to differ. Yeah.
How are you doing this morning? You're looking ravishing.
Thank you.
You've been dressing up every day this week, huh?
Well,
is that because of work?
Yeah, I have work. I take a client, so yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
It feels good to dress up in the morning and everything, huh?
It does a little bit, I guess. Yeah. It makes you feel better.
It does. You know, when you walk around all day, you're feeling taller than everybody else.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because the heels. Except today, minus the heels.
Oh, you don't have the heels today?
No.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a hippie dress.
That's cool. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm all right.
I know you had to battle the traffic and everything.
Oh, my God. I don't know what it's like every day. And then they're saying, I read again, that the ramp over here, because the other day, the ramp that is not this ramp, but the one that's after this was closed.
Yeah.
So there's a backup. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Then today, Lankershim, which for those of you who don't know, is a major road between where I live in Los Feliz to here. Mm-hmm. And it's where the 170 and 101 split was closed. So literally came to a complete halt.
During rush hour?
Yes.
Wow.
This is what every morning. It's like a new ramp. You just don't know. And I wish there was a website you could go to and they tell you.
Right.
But there's not that I know of. And I literally, you're driving like, you know, I'm going 80 miles an hour and they stop.
Right.
And I almost hit the person in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm, oh my, and I had, thank God there's the left lane, like
the
HOV lane, carpool. Yeah. So I pulled over in there really quick. Mm. And then I pulled back in because there's so many cops.
Uh-huh.
There's been so many cops. And I'm like, I do not need a $300, $400, whatever it is, fine for being in this lane. You know, and that's all I need. And I'm just like, we're sitting there and sitting. And I almost called and said, I don't know if I'm going
to
make it.
What a way to fucking drive to work in the morning. You know? It's like, you know, I mean, where's the, you know, the quality of life?
Yeah,
there isn't any.
I really don't understand why they don't do this work at night. It does not make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do it in rush hour?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, tomorrow, the ramp will be fine. And it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it more cooling at night anyway when you're pouring concrete down or whatever the hell you're
doing?
Yeah,
I know.
I don't understand.
Some places I see them working at night, but I don't get the rush hour thing at all. You know,
it doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't, you know.
No.
And driving around here really sucks, you know. I mean, it's nothing new.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, that's why you always have to leave a little earlier. That's what I do.
But I leave, you know, I map it out with traffic. It's about a half an hour, 40 minutes.
Right.
Now, do I leave an hour earlier? That's
retarded. No, you're right. You don't know what's going to happen.
You don't know what's
waiting you on the way.
It's just like, and honestly, it's only like, if people don't get this. It's like, what, 10 miles maybe?
Yeah, it's not a lot.
Which, I mean, for me, if I leave, you know, I set myself for a half an hour, then I'll get here a couple minutes early, and it's like, we're good, you know?
Right.
I feel like I have to leave maybe, you know, 40 minutes or I don't even know, maybe an hour. I mean, it's just ridiculous because every day I don't know.
Yeah.
And then it's like.
I know. That sucks, man. When you don't know, it sucks. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
But.
So, well, we've got the weekend coming up.
Right.
And,
the holiday weekend. What are you doing?
Oh, it is a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So what, Friday? I mean, Monday is a day off?
Monday is a day off.
Okay.
Or would be.
Yeah.
Day off.
Yeah, well, I didn't even remember the holiday, but even if I had, I wouldn't have planned on anything because I don't go anywhere when everybody else is. You know?
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure what I'm doing. I might go to San Diego.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Be nice to spend the weekend at the beach, I'm telling you. You know,
yeah.
It's like...
Then everyone has the same ideas.
So I know. Kind of like, and then everybody
what do
goes
you do?
To the same
yeah.
place.
I know. And you're like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, what can you do? You know, everywhere you go, there's a lot of people.
Right. Right.
What can you do?
Well, I wanted to say that, you know, bullying is a really big thing, obviously, mm-hmm. recently. Another thing, I mean, even with the whole shooting that happened at the Batman thing, that's just some crazy person, but still, like, you never know what happened to that kid. Maybe he was bullied when he was younger, or, you know what I mean? And he went crazy. Anyway, long story short, I saw today on Ray Rice, for those of you who don't know, is a NFL player who plays for the Ravens. Uh-huh. Very, very famous. So Ray Rice had posted on his Facebook today saying he's very sorry for what happened at Perry Hall High School. Now, it made me look twice because Perry Hall High School is a known high school in Maryland, outside of Baltimore. And I guess there was a shooting at the high school because of a bully. It was someone was bullied and then they went and shot the other person. Mm-hmm. So some things that he posted I wanted to talk about because he had said, you know, if only someone had sat down next to this kid, you know, and helped him from being bullied or, you know, just sat down to be nice.
Right.
Maybe the shooting wouldn't have happened. Maybe it would have been prevented. If only you're, instead of rude to somebody, if only you say something nice to someone each day, you know, it could help. And so one of the things he had said was, the kid that's sitting alone at the playground or the kid that's sitting alone at lunch, what if you just got up and sat next to them one day? That could actually change so much in that person's head from either having them, you know, feel like shit that they're worthless and nothing and them exploding on everyone else in some crazy shooting. Because there's been enough school shootings,
right.
You know, that have happened
yeah,
recently.
Plenty.
You know, maybe you'll change his life. Or maybe the kid that is picking on this that you don't realize, maybe you'll stop him from bullying that kid that day. You don't know.
Yeah,
it's just an act of kindness.
But who are you talking to when you're saying you? You know, I mean, who's supposed to sit with a kid?
I'm saying, for example, if you, as in you, Sam,
right.
are somewhere and you're, you know, you have a work day and you're here, so it's different. But I mean, someone, let's say you work in a factory or you work in an office and, you know, you all go down and you eat together in the lunchroom. Or if you're in school and you're listening to us and you're in college or you're in high school, wherever you are, if you, you know, break for lunch every day or there's a time when you're sitting, instead of sitting with all of your friends, if you happen to notice someone who's picked on or maybe someone who's just sitting alone.
So you mean like a fellow student or
someone
something.
You don't know.
Right.
I don't care if it's a fellow student, a fellow coworker, or some random fucking retard that you think is an idiot. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's an act of kindness. You're at the mall and there's, you know, 1,000 seats and then there's one person sitting alone. Whatever. If you go and you sit down next to them and you just start enjoying your lunch and you're like, hi, how's your day? Randomly.
Yeah.
That may be a huge difference in the other person's life that you don't even know.
That's true, you know.
Just one comment. And you know, and I do it all the time. And I have someone else, a couple of people that I know that do it, that will just randomly go and we'll sit at a restaurant and he'll start talking to someone next to you and hi, how are you doing? It makes them we were away one time and someone did that and the couple next to us were like, we're not doing so well. And we said, why? And it said their daughter was in the hospital again for trying to commit suicide. They caught her. And we're like, wow. And we made such a difference to that couple's life just by talking to them. And we wound up buying them a glass of wine each and saying, you need it, you know, whatever. It changed them. And given like that's a different scenario, but let's say you're someone who's thinking of committing suicide or you're someone who's thinking of going on a huge rampage to kill people in a high school that's been going on, or you're a kid who's picked on or you're a bully. If someone is just nice to you in some slice of moment of the day, we may have changed your whole day or your whole outlook.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying.
I agree. It's just that many people are just concerned with themselves, you know, and there's too much hatred going on. I mean, you know, this. In a moment, we'll talk about the Republican National Convention. But, you know, again, like hatred everywhere, you know. I mean, and people just like, they don't see beyond themselves.
They don't. And I feel like this bullying campaigns that are going around, I'm finally glad people are standing up and it's finally being recognized. Because when I was younger, I was picked on.
Yeah.
I was the quiet kid.
Right.
You know, I was so quiet and scared of people and things and until I got into acting, which was I was like 8 until I started talking to people. Like I was very shy, you know, and I was picked on. And I remember just being like, whatever, they'll just, you know, the guys. And I get it. Now I know the guys pick on girls because they wanted attention. And I was a cute kid. But, you know, it's just, I didn't know that. I thought that no one liked me. I didn't know why. Then they would just, like, take away my lunchbox and hit me with it or different things. And I didn't know. And I used to come home crying to my dad. And my dad would be like, what? Hit them back. And I'm like, I can hit them back. And he would be like, yeah, this is what you do. And he would act out conversations with me in case they said this or they said that. This is what I would say back.
Yeah.
And so I would go in there and I'd be like, you know what? I think this. And I would just like say whatever and it would be very smart and witty. And they would be like, oh, what? And they didn't know what to say or do. Yeah. And I felt good. And I was like, yes. And then one day I got so mad I smacked the kid in the face with my lunchbox.
Mm.
And then he was a big bully. He picked on a bunch of people. And he was so – and I got in trouble in school in the principal's office, and they called my parents in, and my dad said – you know, and I said, Daddy, he picked on me. And my dad said, you know what? This kid picks on her every day, and she smacked him in the face. I don't give a shit. She's not getting in trouble as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, okay, it made me feel good, and I remember this. But it's like I was – so I get it, what it's like, you know, to a point, till I learn to stand up for myself. And I'm like not a big – you know, it's not a big deal maybe what happened to me, but – some people, it sticks with you for life.
Right.
You know?
At the same time, you know, some people will say, well, you know, the thing is it happens to everybody.
It does.
And we survive it. You
we
know?
Do.
So, you
but
know,
not
if,
everyone
if nothing
is
else,
strong.
Right. That's true. Not everybody is strong. But at the same time, you know, you want your kids to learn how to deal with life, how
right.
to deal with other people. People are not always going to be nice to you and all that stuff. But at the same time, I see what you're saying, because if it ends up with death,
which
then
is
definitely
happening more and more,
you know?
These days with gun shootings in schools, you know, some kid goes berserk and starts shooting. The whole, you know, Batman thing with Columbine. I mean, there's massive things. And this high school is another example in Maryland that this kid went and shot. You know, I don't know how many people got shot. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Because I didn't check too. And it was this morning that I saw it. And I'm like, are you kidding? You know, but my point is, I'm wondering if it's because nowadays parents are working so many jobs and they're not really involved in their kids' lives.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a huge that's a huge difference, because I feel like we were more involved back then, and nowadays people are just popping out kids left and right and worried about, you know, money issues because the economy is so fucked. And like, you know, so you're working harder, you're not paying as much attention to your kids, and it's so important to be involved in their lives. Have a conversation with your child. And say, how did school go? You know, are there... Literally ask them, because maybe they're being bullied, or maybe they're the fucking bully. Like, think about it. Pay attention, because obviously, like, if you're being a bully, you need attention is what it is. You need attention because you're not getting it at home.
Right.
Or maybe you're getting beat on.
You're insecure
Right, or you're getting beat on at home for some reason. Who knows?
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, like, if you were to talk to your kids each day, this could be prevented in so many ways. But that's all I'm saying. And
that's
it's a big
true.
Deal.
You're
and,
right.
You know, it's upsetting to see yet another thing happen in a school. And I just think it's wrong and it's awful. And if you're just nice to someone, just take one moment out of your day and be nice to someone each day. I mean, hell, go to the mall. And like I said, sit down and be like, hey, how's your day? And they may think you're weird, but more than likely they're going to be like, oh, wow, this person's talking. It's really weird.
Right.
Random. You never know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just an act of kindness. That's it.
Yeah.
Because there could be a day when you're down in the dumps and someone's like, hi, how are you? And you're like, but you know what? The fact that someone noticed you and paid attention and was nice makes you feel better in
no,
that
absolutely.
Moment.
And also because it doesn't happen a lot, you
exactly.
know? So when it does, you know, it stands out and stuff. But, you know, at the same time, you know, people are just, like, too concerned with themselves, you know? And it's hard. I think, you know, but I think it makes sense because until you have your business taken care of, it's hard to think of other people.
But
at the same time, I see what you're saying, because I think that's what's noble, is rising beyond that and saying, okay, I've got my own problems, but I should reach out to people as well.
Right.
Yeah.
A selfless trend. You know what? I think I'm going to start this. I really think I am. I think I'm going to start some active, like, some right. I'm going to tell everyone, and this is going to be my thing. Like, did you do something good for someone today?
Yeah.
Did you say hello to a random stranger?
Like, pay it forward type
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A pay it forward. But all you have to do is just say hi to somebody.
Right.
You know, and who you think may need it. You know, it could even be a bum sitting on the corner of a bus stop. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Anyway.
That's true. You're right.
Because you could be, you know, you never know. You're just giving a little light to someone. Because like I said before, to me, everything's energy and everything's karma. And by putting that out there to someone like that, you're helping them in some way you don't even know. Or maybe they don't even know.
That's true. You're right. You know, but I mean, I totally agree with you, and I think people still are like too concerned with themselves. And look, I mean, we have a type of society where it promotes being an individual,
right,
and you know, your own achievements and things like that. You know, so that's why. You know, I mean, people are so concerned with themselves and everything. And that's also what you're seeing in this upcoming election, too. You know, and I wanted to bring this up because after yesterday's, you know, Paul Ryan spoke and everything, who's running
right.
for the vice president.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to call it a light trend. I've just decided.
What?
A light trend.
Like a light trend?
Adding a light to your day.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
I think it sounds good.
Yeah.
Right? Have you added a light trend today? I think I'm going to brand this. Anyway, go ahead. I was actually thinking, this is going in my head as you're talking.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, I understand. If you still want to stay on the topic,
No. I was just like, I need to think of something. And then I thought of it, so I had to share. Okay.
Yeah. No, because I'm just thinking of, you know, the segue into the convention, because I couldn't believe how much hatred there was on Facebook yesterday and on Twitter. And, you know, from the left, you know, from people that, you know, have different opinions and stuff who are more concerned, I think, with things that concern themselves. And I'm not going to point out people because I don't want to create like...
Right. More drama.
Yeah, exactly, and stuff. And people are entitled to their opinions and whatever it is that bugs them. But at the same time, I think we all pretty much can agree that the economy is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to do something about it. And here's a guy that comes up with a good plan. And people are just like personally attacking him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And calling him names and shit like this, and I've never seen anything like this before. I mean, there's just so much like self-involvement, you know, where people just have no respect for other people, and you know, just calling names and you know, turning him into shit, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, these are people that have like small issues that concern them, you know, maybe entitlement, whatever.
Right.
That they want the liberals to continue, but at the same time, you've got to respect that this is a political campaign. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's like you've got to respect people. I mean, these people could be our president and vice president in a couple months.
Right.
So, you know, and I thought he spoke very well. And also, you know, one thing about this election, if you noticed, everything is like in the polls, they're
right.
like neck to neck with everything, you know. So this shows you the country is split right in the middle. And justifiably, they're focusing on the undecided now because, you know, the Republicans are already on your side. The Democrats will never turn to be on your side, so you got to go with the undecided.
Right.
Know? And they're saying that whoever can win the undecided voters will likely win the election.
Which is interesting because, yeah, everything is really split. But it's just, again, like, I mean, I think I know what I want, but then again, I don't because, again, I'm still in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't want people telling me what to do.
No, absolutely. You know, but, again, you have to consider that you're going to have one of the two.
Right.
And then you have to ask, okay, well, what's, you know, what concerns me? What concerns the country? Who is going to be better for this nation?
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of different things you have to think about, you know, but we're not very popular around the world right now. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, our economy is really bad. People can't pay the bills. That's why I'm thinking, you know, don't vote based on anything else other than the economy. That's the most pressing issue.
Right.
And we gotta fix that. You know, so after 4 years of nothing,
I do agree.
Yeah, we need something new, you know.
I bet
your parents are Republicans, right?
My parents, yes, are diehard Republicans.
Yeah.
They give a lot to that party. But, you know, my dad worked his entire life, and that's
right.
where, excuse me, that's where I get, like, you know, in the middle, and I'm like, I people that have worked, and I have a lot of friends that are very successful, and people I know, and they've worked their ass off for it. They weren't handed to it.
Right.
They weren't, you know, passed down from their daddy, you know, given all this stuff. They worked their ass off and slaved for years.
Right.
Turned what they had into an empire. And you know what? And then now they're huge and they've done very well. And now they're expected to give 50% of their stuff to taxes, pass around the wealth. Like, you know,
yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, they're in the highest tax bracket. So
right.
they're giving away all this. And it's just ridiculous.
Right.
And I think that's completely fucked up. I really, really do. You know, especially with my dad, knowing that he started a company when he was 14. I never saw him when I was younger, ever, because he was working.
Right. That's now, a big sacrifice, you know.
And now he's like 56 or around there years old, and he's about ready to retire. And he's like, I'm done. Like, I'm so done with everything. I'm tired of working. But he's worked enslaved hours. I'm talking like, you know, 18-hour work days, 20-hour.
I know
hour.
What that's like. Yeah. I've done the same thing, yeah.
So the same thing, like building something from nothing. And given, they're huge now. They're one of the largest companies in the U.S. But I also have friends that have come from very poor families who have gone to college and just got smart and created different things. Like the Groupon guys are one. And I have other friends that are on Wall Street. And I have other friends that have done, you know, it could be real estate. It could be, you know, working for another company, creating their own companies. Yeah. God, I have my girlfriend Christina that was here. Mm. You know, she has, I don't even know how many degrees she has. She's got so many damn degrees. That girl, you know, graduated high school at a young age, literally worked her ass off, worked in a restaurant, two or three different restaurants, to pay for her school, paid for all of her school, and she's got massive degrees everywhere, owns her own store now, and she's 25 years old, 26 years old, owns her own store as a hypnotherapist, a healer, all kinds of, you know, like I said, diplomas left and right, whatever, psychologist, addictions counselor, works everywhere.
Right.
And it's like she's doing very well and very successful for her. I mean, I just, people I know that have done very well, I don't think you should be paying for middle America who's popping out kids left and right just to get
on
welfare.
Yeah, all these people that feel entitled.
It's
just
bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, and given, like, I have my ups and I have my downs, and I've worked for very hard in my life, too, to get to where I am. But, you know, and there's times where I'm like, shit, like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, you know, right now. I'll just figure it out, hopefully, and, you know, whatever. And so I get what it's like to be on both ends.
Right.
You know, I don't ask my parents for anything. I don't.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I get what it's like to be poor, and I get what it's like to be wealthy. I've lived the best of both worlds.
Right. Yeah.
So I understand, you know, but all I'm saying is I feel like people who are so left feel like, oh, well, I should just get handouts. No, it's not fair for people like you and my dad and other of my friends who've worked their fucking asses off to get to where they are, to have a career and have, you know, and be able to support people in their lives and whatnot.
Right.
Why should they give out handouts?
Yeah, and that's what they don't understand also. There's too much jealousy of rich people. You know, I mean, the thing is, like you said, they
and get your shit together and do something for yourself.
Exactly. You know, I mean, if you don't do it illegally and you don't step over people, then what's wrong with that?
Exactly.
You know? And, you know, and rich people spend more money, so they stimulate the economy and things like that, you know. So I don't see why there's so much.
There's so much. But you know what? Here's my thing. Get off your lazy ass. Figure it out.
Yeah.
If you're an artist, create. You know, if you're a singer-songwriter, create. Get out there. Go somewhere where you're going to get noticed. Start, like, doing something.
Right.
Start sending it in to every company you can possibly think of. You may get 200 rejection letters, but you may get one that says, I'll give you a chance.
Yeah.
You don't know unless you do it your fucking self. Excuse my language, but it irritates me, you know?
Yeah.
Just like I was told, I speak to kids all over the country in inner cities, because same thing, they look at me like, oh, you've been on this, you've been on that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I did it myself. Yeah. I came from a family that said, I don't believe in any of this. This is not happening. And I went, and my main thing was, I went to New York. There were thousands upon thousands of people trying out to be on Britney Spears.
Right, to do the same thing.
And I did it. And my family and people told me, you're never going to get it. They're only choosing 12 people out of thousands. And I waited in line all damn day. I'm talking 12, 13 hours.
Really?
In line in New York City in the sweltering heat, starving and thirsty, but did not get out of line because I was determined to get seen.
Mm.
And I was I was the very last person actually to be seen, believe it or not. Yes.
Wow.
And I got there and I was seen, and guess what? I got it.
Mm.
I got chosen out of thousands of people to be one of the 12 that got chosen to dance for Britney. And then, you know, and then I did other things for MTV. And it's just like, okay, all the people said no, and the odds were against me completely.
Right, yeah.
But I had it in my head I was going to do it.
And that's part of
that's all I'm saying.
It's part of this business.
Do it.
Yeah.
You never know. You could be one of those 12, too. I'm just saying, like, whatever it is in your life that you find that you stand out and you want to do with your life, do it.
Yeah.
Stop sitting there and waiting for something to happen, because it's not going to.
Because some people feel comfortable being a victim, you know, and then they just sit back and want the government to help them and people to give them handouts.
And that's you can do so much in your life if only you ask or try.
Yeah.
And that's it. No one's just going to come pop out of nowhere. I didn't just get on TV because someone walked up to me. You know, I went looking for it. I went out there searching myself, and then I got things.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, and with minority groups, the same thing. You know, rather than sit there and pretend
feel
you're
sorry
a victim.
For yourself.
Exactly. You know, go out and do something, you know.
And that's
just like everybody else does.
And that's what I say to these kids in the inner cities. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what color you are, who you are, if your mother's there or not, if you're in an orphanage, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, stand up for yourself. Do something.
Yeah, you got to think of your future, you know, and the thing is that that's what this country is about. It's about individual responsibility, you know, and take care of yourself, and whatever you can achieve is yours, you know, and you've earned it. But many people don't see it that way.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry to go on a rant, but it just
No, no.
Me.
I mean, that's what we're here for. What the hell, you know? I mean, I just like, I wanted to post so much stuff on Facebook, but, you know, I decided I'm going to stay away from politics because it just gets nasty, you know?
Exactly.
People call each other names and shit, you know? I only posted, like, Ann Romney is cool. You know how much hate comments there were on there?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I deleted fucking everybody. They can go to hell, man.
Yeah.
I don't need that on my page.
Yeah.
But people have no sense of anything. Now, you said we're going to have our guest, the one that was supposed to be on yesterday.
Yes.
He's going to probably call in any minute.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out from him what he's working on and everything.
Right. Hopefully the pitchman.
Yeah.
He should be calling in like 2 minutes. But anyway.
Yeah. So, I wanted to play a clip here of Dr. Ruth. You know who she is? Mm-hmm. You've got to know who Dr. Ruth is. She's short, old lady who talks about sex all the time. She's like a sex
therapist. Oh, yeah.
And she talks funny. So I want to play this, but, you know, he might call. Let's see. But it only takes about a minute.
Right,
I want to hear this. She was on Dr. Drew.
I love Dr. Drew.
Yeah, and she's talking about, you know, how a woman has to take charge and explain to the guy what to do, you know.
Yes. You have to teach him. You have to take his hand. And you have to show him what you need on your belly, on your behind. Show it to him. Don't expect him to know it by himself.
Ruth, you have we got to drop pamphlets across women in America from your sage advice. But the other thing, Amy, I would say the reason he goes right there is that one of the big mistakes, and Dr. Ruth, you ring in with me on this, if this is true, you think so, that men and women assume that what they want is the same as what their partners want. And men typically want their female partner to go pretty much right where the action is, and so he assumes that's where you want to go. Dr. Ruth said, you need to educate him about how the female erotic responsiveness works. Yes?
And that it takes a woman a longer time to be up on the curve of sexual arousal.
Yes.
So don't make a big dissertation about it. Don't talk about it. Take his hand and show him what you need. You have to take the risk to show him what is needed for you to have an orgasm. Okay?
Okay.
How old is she? She's German?
She's good. No, well, maybe she's
accent.
German. Yeah, but she's Jewish as well. But she does have like a German accent.
I think
that's where she's from. But it's so funny to hear her talk about sex.
Yeah.
Take her hand.
You take the hand and you rub it on your stomach. Okay? Okay. I can't even do it right. But yeah, I need to hear
Sounds
it more.
Sounds pretty close. No, but the point is really, I guess, you know, when you meet someone, you know, I guess maybe not the first time or second time, but
once you're
comfortable with them.
Once you're comfortable, you can show them. Because, you know, every person likes it a different way.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
You know, and you try whatever you do. And, you know, I also think, you know, you really got to focus on the other person as well, because that's what it's about, you know.
Right.
If you don't, just go and masturbate, you know, it's the same thing. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, to just use a person for their body, you know, is it's kind of like gross to me, I think, you know.
Well, I mean, I think that you definitely need to, you know, to tell whoever it is, because they don't know. And like, guys think they're going to come in and they're going to make you get off right away. And maybe they will.
Right.
But honestly, there are some girls, and most girls like it a certain way. We all like it a certain way. We all want it done a certain way.
Right.
Maybe we'll still get off, but honestly, it's not going to be as good unless we show you what we want.
Yeah.
So, you have to wait for that comfortability, absolutely, to be like, I like it this way. Because you don't want to hurt their feelings either. But then again, you should be open to knowing that every person's different.
Right.
So.
No, absolutely. And, you know, maybe give him a chance also to do it the right way. And, you know, and give you his input first. And then if you don't get off, then you tell him, you know, what you need. But at the same time, I think, there should be, you know, some kind of communication. But I never really had that problem, you know. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, I think if you connect with someone, you can pretty much feel them out.
Right.
You know what turns them on and stuff, you know. So it's just if you're too involved with yourself, you're not going to see it.
This is true. And I also feel like, you know, there's a lot of girls that I've seen, heard, whatever. I mean, I'm saying it's early. I need a coffee. There's a lot of girls that I know of is what I meant to say. Uh-huh. Not seen. Maybe that's a Freudian slip. I don't know. That don't even masturbate.
Yeah,
they don't. They don't. And I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Amazing,
because if you don't do that, then you don't know what you like.
Exactly.
And no wonder you've never gotten off or, you know,
and
you need to know your body.
You're probably cranky all the fucking time, too.
Yeah.
You know?
You need to, exactly. You need to know your body before you can let someone else know you.
Right.
You know?
No, absolutely. And besides, how can you go? You know, I mean, there's got to be urges. They got to be this, you know. So sometimes I think it's like consciously you have to decide I'm not going to do it. You
know?
Because I think naturally kids just start from an early age, you know.
Yeah.
Even babies
masturbate,
you know.
Yep.
So it's funny, but some people are very uptight about it. I don't think there's any guys that don't masturbate, I'll tell you, you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I've heard of some guys say, oh, I don't do it. Like one or two, and I'm like, what? Are you gay? Because that doesn't make sense. I mean, if you were, I mean, because all my, I take that back.
Yeah,
a lot of my
take it back. Even gays masturbate a lot.
A lot of my gay, I take that back. A lot of my gay friends masturbate a lot. But I mean, I guess I was saying it because I was like, what? You won't do that? And I forget what it was. It was some guy a long time ago was talking about his girl and how he doesn't masturbate at all. And I'm like, well, then how do you expect her to know, how do you know what you like?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And because he's like, oh, I, you know, he can't hold it in. Like, he just go. And I'm like, if you masturbated, you'd be able to control yourself.
Yeah.
You can last longer with your woman, or a guy, whatever. You can just last longer and you can control. Like, you know, control.
Right.
You can, like, hold out. Now I'm saying not necessarily be like Sting,
right?
You know, and and go for hours and hours because who the hell wants to go for 10 hours? I just, I just get to the point. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not all about hurry up and rush either. But it's like, you know, some guys can't control it, especially when you're younger. Mm. You can't control it and you come right away. And it's like, what does that do for the girl? And you're like, oh, I feel great. And the girl's like, you just screwed me.
Yeah.
Really? And then you get embarrassed because you're like, oh, well, I'll get you later. What? What? You know, control, dude. It's all control.
Yeah. Not only that, but if you do have that problem, then focus on her pleasure first.
Right.
And then do it, you know.
Right.
But just to insert it and hope you're going to please her is not going to cut it, you know. It doesn't happen that way. So, yeah. So, well, Dr. Ruth must have something there.
I guess so. Yeah. And I mean, I think, I don't know. Yeah. I was reading something.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the thing is that you can talk about sex all day, but the thing is you have to be compatible. You have to be into the other person, you know?
You do, and that's another thing that I'm going to bring up that I just got a text about from somebody. But, I mean, you know, and that also means don't be lazy if you've been in a relationship for a long time either.
Mm.
This is true. This is a big thing because I hear complaints from men and women. They're like, oh, we only have sex like once a week or once every two. And I'm like, what?
Mm.
What?
Wow.
I get that everyone has busy schedules, but there's no reason why, like, if you come home late at night and your woman's sleeping in bed, wake her the fuck up.
Yeah.
Stick it in.
Yeah.
That's kind of hot.
Okay, I think our guest is calling. We'll go back to that.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Leah from Sullivan Productions. I have Anthony Sullivan on hold.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Moment.
Team Chef, Guy Yovan.
Hi, Mary Beth White here. Hi, everyone. I'm Mindy McCourt.
Hello.
I was like, I don't know what just
what
that
was. What was that? Oh, you were listening to another radio station.
No. Hey, how are you?
Good morning, Anthony.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Oh, good. We're live, right? I take it.
We are live.
We're
live.
You called right into the station. So where are you calling us from? Where in the country
are you? I'm
calling
you from the head of where the Republican National Convention is right now. I'm about half a mile from Ground Zero in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, wow. So did you actually take part in the convention? Did you have something to say?
Well, my office is actually walking distance from the convention center, and they spent $2 million fixing up the bridge that goes over to the convention center, but then they put the bridge permanently up. So, unfortunately, I can't make it over there. So I have not been over there. But it's kind of nice. They shut the street down. They've there's no traffic. It's the quietest I've ever seen it. So I have not made it over there, although Kid Rock was playing last night.
That's awesome.
And, and I had tickets, but it's just like it's hard to get over there.
Yeah. Right. No, I totally hear.
So they expected the storm to hit you guys, did it?
No, it didn't.
It didn't, right?
No.
Yeah, it
went
west.
Well, yeah, you know, the media, they scared. I was lucky enough to go to the London Olympics this summer, and they did the same thing there. They basically told everyone, stay away, don't come in, the traffic's going to be a nightmare, and they did the same thing here. Stay away, hurricane, there's going to be 99% revolution in the streets, and it's actually really calm, and the storm missed us, thank God. I know it's to Louisiana, but we're doing great down here.
Sounds good.
I know. I'm excited because my parents' house is near there, and I'm like, just save the house. Save the house. Anyway, but well, it's great to have you on, and I don't know if you realize this or not, but I was queen of late night TV for a long time. I was the infamous Extends girl, and back in the day, we actually were supposed to be on Good Morning America together. They were doing a piece on all of us, the kings and queens of late night TV, and they wound up, they came and they shot me, and they wound up pulling the piece because of what happened to Billy, what's his name, and someone else. So we never got to air, but you were supposed to be part of this. I don't know if you realize that or not.
Well, here we are.
There we are. So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and what you're famous for. So our listeners
Sullivan, well, me as an individual, I would say I could sum up my kind of life in one word, in my commercial life, and that's a pitch man. As an individual, I started pitching when I was about 19 years old in England, and I worked all over England, in Wales and Scotland and London. And about in the early 90s, I started to catch the infomercials on TV in the UK, and I realized they were all produced in the States, and I was sort of tired of pitching on street corners and at state fairs and talk shows. So I decided to make a break for America and came over here in 93. And it took me a couple years to get my feet wet and get noticed. And I actually had a break on HSN, which is located here in Tampa, and did a lot of TV work at HSN, and then broke into the world of infomercials and set up my own production company, which is kind of the extension of what I've done. And Sullivan Productions is a full-service production company that is based in Tampa, Florida, and we produce, we're constantly in production, and we've, Billy Mays was my former partner. We had a show on Discovery Channel.
That's actually who was supposed to be on the show with
that's
us.
That's the name you were looking for.
Yeah, sorry.
Billy, yeah, so Billy was my old partner, and we had a show on Discovery Channel called Pitch Men, and that was a whole, experience in itself. And we produced OxyClean from the beginning of time. We've worked with Armand Hammer. We've right now on the air, we have the Edge of Glory. We have the Sticky Buddy. The Swivel Sleeper is a brand that we've done. If you go to AnthonySullivan.com or SullivanProductions.com, you'll see. It's hard for me to remember everything we've done because we've done so much. If that makes any sense.
Right. No, it does make sense.
No, absolutely.
So you produce like infomercials and stuff.
Absolutely.
It's those long form commercials.
He is Sully the Pitchman. He is so known.
You see, I just don't watch late night TV, so I didn't know about Extend either.
Oh, please. You know, you recognized me when I walked in here. You're like, oh, that's that girl. I can't mention it though because I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
I love the Extend commercials. I love them.
Thanks. I know they're so cheesy.
I never bought it. I don't know if it works, but. I mean, I love the commercials.
It's so funny, though, to be walking down the street and have done tons of things, and that's what you're noticed for is the penis pill girl. And I'm like, oh, really? Really? But, you know, I mean, it's kind of cool to be noticed from, I mean, you really are like the king of late night TV, pretty much, in a way.
Wow.
Did you ever see like this happening, or is this what you...
No, I remember I knew that when I first came over to the States, I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I, you know, and then... it wasn't until 1998 that I actually had my first overnight infomercial, which was the Rotato, that conform to the undulating terrain of any fruit or vegetable. That was the first one. And I remember just like turning on the TV, and it was Saturday night, and I would just come in with some friends, and I'm like, there it is. I'm actually staring right back at me, because I did a lot of live TV before that.
Yeah.
Right.
And then went into you know, infomercials, and then Billy and I partnered up, and I feel like we just put our head down and worked, and then you mm-hmm. turn on the TV and you see yourself, and it's, and, you know, as long as we see ourselves on TV, we know we're doing good. We know we're making
right.
money.
Right. So you're essentially, you must be like a very good salesman, or a natural born one, to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you started early on.
The first thing I ever sold was my parents' house when I was about 8 years old.
you sold their house?
The realtor never showed up. Yeah, the realtor never showed up, and I answered the door, and I was a little kid. And they were like, oh, don't worry, we'll come back another time. And I was like, no, come in, I'll show you around. And I showed them around the house like only a kid would do, and I took them up in the attic and the treehouse and had the new owners like all over the place, and they ended up buying it. So I never got a commission, though.
Yeah. Well, you got the house.
I'm sure you got extra toys. You just don't remember.
Everyone's told me I've had the gift of the gab, so, you know, I don't know. I mean, I have to believe in the product.
Right.
And it has to, you know, absolutely. It has to speak to me, and then it's easier to sell if you believe in it, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely, that's totally true. I know how that is.
So
we should do something together. We should just invent something out there and queen and king of late night TV and go in on something together. It would be fun.
Yeah. Whatever you'll have, you'll be able to sell, I'm
that's
sure.
That's for sure.
So, Sully, what are you working on now? Do you have a current project you're working on?
I can't tell you what we're working on now. It's top secret.
Oh, okay.
No, actually, we do kind of value our clients. Rudy, sort of, we work very secretively because we're working on a lot of new products, and I think a lot of people look to our space to see what we're coming out with. But we have a new generation of the swivel sweeper.
Okay.
That we're working on. We've sold 20 million swivel sweepers worldwide.
Wow.
So we got a new generation of swivel sweeper coming out. That's going to be probably rolling out mid-January. And then I just did a commercial with my brother, who's also a pitch man. The first time we ever teamed up and collaborated. And that is for a state-of-the-art floor mop. Look out for that one. I can't tell you the name, but that's going to be coming out, and you'll see my brother looks just like me, except he's fatter.
Oh, you're such a nice brother.
I know, that's okay. I tell him to his face.
Yeah, exactly. He's honest.
He says I have a long head, and I say he has a fat, you know, he needs to lose some weight, but he's great. So we actually work together, and it's a great experience working with my brother, because that's a tough one when you're working with a family member.
Right.
And then we've got a new steamer, the 5-in-1 X5, which we're actually wrapping up production on that right now. And that's three really big projects.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then we have new OxyClean commercials in the hopper, which are kind of, you'll see those. They're kind of going on the air now. We just finished a big OxyClean project. And we've got a couple brand new items that we're working on. We got some knives that we're working on. I can't tell you the name of those, some new knives. We've got a new, I'm trying to think what it is now. We've got a new microwave steamer, which is coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
Knife sharpener, the Edge of Glory, that's just launched. We've got the Insta Bulb, the Sticky Buddies on the air, so we're busy.
Yeah, that sounds like it. That's
obviously great. Now, where can people learn more about you and all the products you're promoting?
Or a company that may want you, to do an infomercial for them.
I was lucky enough to get my own domain name, AnthonySullivan.com. We keep a pretty active Facebook fan page where if people have any questions about products and they want to reach out, I try and get to it, and I actually will personally answer some of the emails and questions I get on there. And we're really good at sending out swag, so if people write nice stuff on the fan page, they'll quite often get a little parcel in the mail. So you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Sully on TV, and AnthonySullivan.com.
Sounds good.
I'm a pretty accessible guy. I figure it's good. I have always sold products to individual people, and I started on a very street level, and I always had a rapport with my customers, so I've never really forgotten that. I never want to be that guy that becomes too aloof and doesn't talk to, you know, I feel like the relationship that I have with the people that buy from me, it should be very personal. So I try and keep it like that and remember, you know, where I came from.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Well,
you sound like you're a pro
at what you do, you know.
And very level-headed, so that's good.
Yeah,
I just bought an electric car. That's my latest thing.
Yeah. Oh, See, way to help the environment.
Yeah, I got a Fisker, and they gave me the love that, you know, like you normally get a free gift.
Yeah.
You know, if you order right now, we'll double the value. We'll cut the price in half. They gave me a little tiny toy version of the car.
Oh, how cute.
Right now. Yeah. So if you spend $100,000 right now, we'll give you a free toy car.
Yeah.
Yes!
Sounds good to me.
But I got sold. They sold me. I got a Fisker. It's unbelievable. I plug it in and go to work and don't have to worry about petrol anymore, gas.
That is so amazing. Yeah, that's because cool. Gas, the prices are insane. And at least you're doing the environment good, so that's great.
It's the future. I'm driving the future. I'm telling you. Once you get in this, that's it. I'm a fan. I'm an ambassador. These guys got a free endorsement from me.
Great. Yeah, I was just gonna say. You know what? It sounds like you're trying to pitch that. So is that a hint?
Yeah, you might as well.
Well, people always tell me, they're like, how do you, you know? And I honestly feel like if you love something and you really like something, you know, like if you go on vacation, you stay at a nice hotel,
right,
and you just tell people about it, you are pitching it. You're selling them because you had a great experience.
Yep.
So I think that part of the pitch is, I don't feel like I'm selling you. I love this. I'm going to tell you how much I love it, and in the process, you're going to buy one because I love it, and you should love it too. That's how simple it is. That's what it boils down to.
And what is really great is I have a new website called Love It, and this is exactly what we do. We go around and we film videos of things that we love, and we upload them for other people to see.
Right.
So this is very interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, Sully, thank you so much. We're running out of time
here. Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. Totally appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me. Anytime, you know where to reach me.
We do.
Sully on TV, on Twitter. I'll post something great about the show, and look out for me in my silver electric car, okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wanted to see what you look like now, so I'll watch late night.
The pitch, and then you buy.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Copy that.
Way to make an easy living.
The world's top salesman. There you go.
All right, man.
All right, Sully.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cool.
Yeah, we finally got to talk to him after 3 days of trying.
I know, but I'm glad he came on. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, people like it. I know. Yeah, we're supposed to be on this whole huge show. I was so upset that it because it was right after the Billy Mays thing happened, and then the other guy, I forget his name, something else happened, and we just got bumped aside. But oh well.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What happened with Billy Mays? What's that about? What do you mean?
I'm gonna get the two confused, so I don't want to. Like.
Okay.
Yeah. One of them. Yeah. He bumped his head on a plane, and then remember he died.
Oh, I don't remember that. No.
Yeah, they said. I
really?
Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do?
Concussion or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever.
Finally, this 100-year-old driver hit 11 people in L.A. with his car.
When?
Yesterday.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
He drove up like on the
sidewalk.
On the sidewalk. And near a school, you know.
Where?
And in L.A., it doesn't say...
Where?
It doesn't say where in L.A. It just says
were
elementary
children?
School in L.A.
Oh, my God.
Southern Los Angeles.
So were they children?
Yeah, they were children.
They killed 11 children?
No, he didn't kill them. Oh. They were injured. Yeah, they were injured. But he didn't kill anybody.
So...
And he says... he says, I'm sorry, I lost control of the car. The brakes failed, I think. You know?
You're 100 years old.
He's 100 fucking
Why
years old.
Why are you driving
Why
a car?
Why is he in a car? Yeah.
You should not be allowed in a car.
No.
See, this is another thing that drives me absolutely
No,
insane.
I know, and not even 100. You know, I mean, I think once you hit like 80-something, it's not even the age, you know. I mean, because you can probably be 85, 90 and drive just fine. The thing is that... The instincts are not as fast, you know. The
your
reactions are not
exactly.
as fast.
And your eyes know. Get worse. And,
yeah,
you, know,
you
all
just
kinds
move much more slowly, you know. I mean, that's a fact.
And you don't pay attention to what's going on around you.
Yeah, you know, it's so dangerous to let them drive like this, you know. But they do. They do. What are you going to do?
I know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Wow.
All right, well, we are out of time. We didn't finish to talk about the sex thing, but I think we got the point across there.
Exactly.
We can always continue
tomorrow. Totally fine. I'm sure it will anyway.
All right. Well, have a busy day and an enjoyable one. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.